There's a huge, mostly invisible web of pipelines crisscrossing the country that make it possible for our stoves to light and our cars to turn on. Those pipelines run from oil and gas producing regions to refineries and processing plants, crossing miles of private property along the way. The people whose land they cross don't often benefit. But, as Wyoming Public Radio Stephanie Joyce reports in part 4 of our series on pipelines, a new strategy may help.
Driving across parts of Rocky Foy's property is like being on a roller coaster.
See, here's another one, another one, another one, another one.
There are 12 pipelines that cross Foy's cattle ranch outside of Glendoe. The gravel road rises over each one of them, then drops back down. As we bump along, Foy jokes.
The only lottery I ever won in my life was all those pipelines.
It's a lottery he wishes he hadn't won, and one he didn't choose to enter. In Wyoming, as in most states, pipelines have the power of eminent domain, which means they can cross private property with or without the owner's permission, so long as the companies offer reasonable compensation.
First line came in, I think Grandpa said, in 1927.
The compensation for that line?
Grandpa let them come across for basically nothing. He sold them beef every day because they had to stay on the line.
Foy no longer accepts beef purchases as payment, but he says it can be hard to negotiate good deals as a single landowner up against a billion-dollar company.
They come and they pick you off one by one, you know.
But things were different with pipeline number 12, the pipeline that's currently being laid on his property. When Oklahoma-based Highland Partners said they'd take Foy to court if he didn't sign an agreement with the company for its Double H crude pipeline from North Dakota to Guernsey, Foy joined a group of landowners to negotiate.
And then it gave us so much more clout because we had one voice rather than, you know, 200 small voices or whatever.
As simple as it sounds, collective bargaining was a novel approach. Attorney Frank Fallon, who represented the group, says banding together wasn't easy, in part because of the pipeline company.
They deliberately made it very difficult as possible for the landowners who were trying to figure out who else was going to be impacted.
Highland didn't respond to interview requests, but Fallon says the company was obviously nervous that the landowners were banding together to oppose the pipeline. But he says that was never the goal. The goal was to get better terms.
The landowner does not get to share in the profits of this, but they absolutely get to share in the problems and in the risk.
Risks that range from the obvious, like fires and spills, to the less expected. Foy, the rancher, tells a story of shooting at a coyote once and accidentally hitting a natural gas pipeline on his property.
And that sounded like you were standing behind a jet taking off. It was just roaring.
But Foy was lucky.
It scared the coyote. It scared me, but it didn't blow up.
That pipeline has been on Foy's property for 30 or 40 years. Foy says the contract he signed is maybe a couple pages long and doesn't address what happens if, say, the pipeline gets shot or if the company decides to abandon it. That's in stark contrast with the latest agreement for the Double H pipeline. Foy says by banding together, the landowners group was able to get Highland's attention.
It got to the point to where the CEO of Highland was getting some of his guys and their corporate lawyer and getting on their jet and flying up and talking.
Foy guesses the final contract, including appendices, is over 70 pages long. It touches on everything from reclamation of the land to gates that need to be shut.
There's no gray area. Everything has been discussed and it's all spelled out on paper.
And the payment? 6 times the original offer. To say Foy is happy about the contract would be too strong. He'd prefer not dealing with pipelines at all. But he knows that's wishful thinking.
Once you get a pipeline corridor started on you, I mean, I just can't foresee it ever stopping until we find a different source of energy.
By one estimate, 500,000 miles of pipeline will be built in the U.S. over the next 2 decades. The Double H isn't even in the ground, and Foy says another company has already contacted him to let him know they're thinking about running a pipeline across his property. But this time, Foy knows that he won't be negotiating alone. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Stephanie Joyce.